Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is a Crowd podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beef's Golf Club. What a weekend of golf in Augusta this weekend. Scottie Scheffler has won the Masters for the second time in 3 years. Unfortunately, John's out at the moment. We'll be back for our usual episode on Wednesday. But of course, I've got producer Ryan here with me to chat about the weekend's action. How are you, mate?
Beef, I'm good, thank you, mate. I watched an awful lot of golf this weekend. It was absolutely brilliant, wasn't it? I know you're in Singapore. Is it on in like the middle of the night where you are?
It's like, that's the only one bad thing about Singapore is the time difference for sport is just horrific. And I might, if I'm up early enough, you might catch a little bit at the end, but that's literally about it. It's on like literally through the middle of the night.
So Scheffler was sort of like, you know, getting the job done. You were basically waking up, not even had breakfast yet.
Well, if you look at my eye, I've been up for 4 days straight.
It does look like you've had an allergic reaction to something, and I'm guessing that's not the Masters.
No, I don't know what it is. Hopefully it's not the Masters. Hopefully it's not grass, because that won't do me any favours.
If your latest comeback has a problem with hay fever, that'd be a real nightmare. But Beef, I guess obviously you have seen most of the highlights and stuff. Scottie Scheffler, I mean, obviously he went in as the favourite. Are we sort of in the Scottie Scheffler era at the moment? Is this a new kind of start of dominance?
It's not going to be like a Tiger dominance. No way. I don't think we'll ever see anyone repeat what Tiger's done in terms of dominating golf the way he did, winning 6-7 in a row a few times and stuff like that. I don't think we'll see that. But he has to be sort of one of the closest to sort of getting any resemblance near him. I mean, it's his ball striking, mate. It's ball striking. As we saw at the Ryder Cup, he started to work with Phil Kenyon. Mm. And we watched him hit a few putts out there. And one, that was a brave thing to do sort of around the Ryder Cup and start working with a new putting coach before the Ryder Cup. But it's clearly paying off. And I said it this week. If he putts well, his ball striking is so good. It's so consistent. He's always going to be there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
He'll have to have a really, really off day or off week ball striking, but he doesn't seem to have that many. I mean, it's insane. He's so consistent. And obviously, yeah, Phil Kenyon, whatever he's doing, he's working. He's changed his putter this year. Gone to a mallet putter. He's always using a blade putter. He's gone to a mallet putter.
Yeah.
Seems to have done the trick. I mean, Phil Kenyon's one of the best, if not the best putting coach. So it makes sense and it's clearly working. And if you're in the rest of the field, it's not looking good sometimes.
I mean, I saw this stat that only 30 men have won more than two majors. So that's the next target, surely, for Scottie Scheffler, isn't it? I mean, Jordan Spieth has three, Rory McIlroy's got four, Koepka's got five, surely he's going to be in that mix pretty soon, isn't he?
Yeah, you'd think so. You never know what will happen with golf. I mean, Jordan Spieth come out and won three really early on in his career when he was sort of early 20s and kind of stalled a bit. It's so tough to maintain that level, and there's so many good players out on these tours that so many people can win. I mean, you expect Scheffler to win 5, 6, 7, 8 the way he's going, but you can never quite tell. But you wouldn't bet against it.
No. His demeanour, Beef, is so sort of calm and chilled, isn't it? And there's been a lot said over the weekend about that he, you know, golf's not his main thing in his life. It's just something that he does and enjoys. What do you make of that and the way he sort of approaches golf? Because he looks like nothing bothers him, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's so calm. It's so easy to say them type of things with perspective, and there's sort of other things that are more important, which obviously there is. But when you're playing in the heat of the moment, heat of battle like that, it's easy to forget that. But he seems so strong in his, I guess, in his values, and he's so drained, like sort of, he's so drummed into that. It's amazing. And he never sort of seems to let anything really get to him in that sense. He just keeps plodding along, doing his thing. And you hear the interviews and said, that's just me. That's how I go about it. And he just seems very comfortable in his own skin.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a point on Sunday where himself, Morikawa and Homer were all tied, I think, on 6 under. And then he just like pulled out this absolute worldie of an approach shot on the 9th. You saw that, didn't you?
Yes, it's incredible. And that could be a really sort of fiddly shot, that you hit it too far, you miss the slope, and then you've got a ridiculously fast putt coming down. If you're a bit short, then you're going to be 20 yards short, pitching back up the hill into that pin. There's not much room. And that's the thing with Augusta. There's not much room for landing spots where these pins are. You've got to be so precise. And it's, again, one of them shots where it really kind of kick-started his round.
Yeah.
And sort of set him up for that back nine. It was perfect timing. And I think that's what some of the great players do. They'll just hit a shot or do something just at the right time. And that's exactly what he did. And I mean, it's tough. That golf course, you have to be so precise. And we saw it with Max Homer on 12. Where they put the pin sort of front right there, there's about 7, 8 yards of green. It's so narrow. If you're short, you're going in the water. Everyone's trying to hit a little fade into that. And he's just hit it, sort of, he's pulled it a little bit. And as they say in golf, sort of double crossed himself and shut the face and hit it long. You don't have to do much wrong. You don't have to do much wrong to be in that position and make a double. It's such fine margins. With that, on another golf course, it'd be a back of the green putting.
Well, I guess that's what's so impressive, isn't it? Because at that point where Scheffler hit that on 9, that was sort of when Morikawa, I think there was 2 holes, wasn't there? Not in a row, I think it was 9 and 11 that he had an absolute shocker. And he got 2 double bogeys. Homer hit that one on 12. And then all of a sudden, Scheffler's just like 4 shots ahead. And it was just, you know, that kind of, all those problems that you're talking about and the difficulties that Augusta poses, it's sort of just Scheffler's kind of got on with it, didn't he? And what kind of mentality does that take?
Yeah, strong mentality. Like I said, you can rack up a double bogey on that golf course without even thinking about it, without even trying. It was just, you hit one not even bad shot, one average shot, and you could be staring at the face at a double. So you've got to be so on it all the time. And that definitely plays into a big mental part where the pressure's building. You're going up into the back nine of the Masters, tied for the lead. A little bit tense, a little bit tight. Like I said, you don't have to do much wrong. Your brain starts sort of naturally throwing doubts at you.
Yeah.
A bit of indecision. And all of a sudden, you've hit one average shot. It's not even a bad shot, an average shot. Half the time, and the next thing you're walking off 2 shots behind, 3 shots behind after a few holes. It's so difficult.
Also as well, I mean, across the whole weekend, there was the conditions they were fighting against, the wind. I don't know if you saw, especially on day 2, I think, the wind was absolutely all over the shop. The sort of bunkers were spraying sand everywhere. How difficult does that make things when it's a difficult enough course as it is, when the sort of the elements are against you.
It, around that golf course, wind is an absolute nightmare. Absolute, because you've got to think how fast and firm the greens are and how severe they are. And we always hear about the players talk about where they're going to be hitting the ball in certain areas of the green. If you get on the wrong side of these pins, the greens are so quick, so severe. It's hard to two-putt them sometimes, yeah, if you're on the wrong side, let alone if you miss the green and now you're trying to get up and down. So with the wind, it just makes it that much, it makes it way more difficult.
Yeah.
To sort of manage and sort of hit them spots and them targets. And I think a few of the holes, well, a lot of the holes around Augusta, you're trying to hit it into sort of maybe 5-6 yard landing areas. And if you've got 20 miles an hour of wind, we've all played in the wind. Everyone's played in the wind. You see what it does to the golf ball, the way it moves it. Slightly mishit one into wind, 5-6 yards short. It's brutal. Yeah, wind's probably the worst thing you want to do around that golf course, play in the wind.
Well, I mean, what a performance it was. And two green jackets in 3 years. That's just pretty crazy, isn't it? There's not many people who've done that. I think Bubba Watson was like the last person to do that.
Yeah, I think Bubba, yeah. Bubba won a couple of times. That's when he hit the crazy shot in the playoff out the trees on 10.
Yeah.
Going to say, yeah, the big hook he hit with a wedge shot. That was something special, that was.
Yeah. Well, you know, we talk about Scheffler dominating things potentially for years to come. I guess there's someone who might have something to say about it. I mean, Ludvig Åberg. Wow. Like, what a weekend.
It's really odd to think that was his first major.
I know.
Bizarre, like really odd to think what he's done in professional golf in 8 months, six
Wasn't
months.
He an amateur this time last year?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's bizarre. It's really odd. You think like he's almost rocking up to that. You think he's rocking up to that tournament like it's his third, fourth, fifth time, something like that. And then to come out second, and there's always been a saying, if you go back and you listen to previous winners or previous golfers who played the Masters a lot, it's the ones that always played it 2-3 times and get to know the golf course inside out.
Yeah.
Start to sort of get their bearings on what to do. And to finish tight, like to finish second in your first start at Augusta, first start in a major, is insane.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, we saw him at the Ryder Cup up close, didn't we, Beef? What were your thoughts on watching him back then, back in September?
Just an absolute ball striker.
Yeah.
Again, a bit like Scheffler, doesn't really look like he gets fazed by much. Again, I'd use that word again. He's sort of comfortable in his own skin, just kind of does his thing. Super player, steady player. I don't think he's going to make too many. He's not going to hit too many wild shots. He never seems like that kind of player where he's going to hit 1 mile offline. He just looks like he's going to drive it very consistently and always stay in the game. I think that's what you're going to see for a long time. Very steady.
I mean, that mentality as well, to come into your first major and it be the Masters, where there's all sorts of traditions and, you know, it's just one of the most prestigious golf courses in the world. He must have an unbelievable mentality to just sort of not let that really affect him, and all the chat around it as well. There were so many people saying, how is he going to cope first major? Yeah, that must be pretty impressive, right?
100%. It's bizarre. What I've seen over the years, I don't know if it's something that naturally comes to players.
Yeah.
Like Ludvig, like Scheffler, even if you come away from golf and you look at darts or what Luke Littler's done as well. I watched the first tournament he won, and you'd expect him to be sort of jumping all over the place. And he was just like, yeah, happy days, really chilled about it. And I was like, that's not normal. It's not so maybe it's something, I don't know, just deep ingrained. They just have that knack for sort of being really calm and sort of in the moment, in themselves.
Yeah.
We should get someone on.
What, Ludvig?
Well, no. We should get someone on to talk about the mental side, about that. I'd like to ask a professional about that
question. 100%.
I think that'd be quite interesting.
Yeah, I agree. You should also get Ludvig on as well. If you just, you know, pop him a quick message, Beef. That'd also be quite good.
You know what I've made? I've made a pact to myself not to shout anyone's name out this series.
draw the line at mentality coaches, and then we'll see. Well, speaking of other big names, another disappointing Masters weekend for Rory McIlroy, Beef?
Yeah, it's not what he would have wanted. I know he went out to see Butch Harmon, I think it was other week, a couple of weeks before the Masters, which kind of, it kind of says, I'm searching here a little bit. I'm looking for something to get me ready for the Masters, which isn't ideal prep, I would say, if you're searching a couple of weeks out. I just think it wasn't the right time. It wasn't quite in form. If you're not in form around a major, it's going to be tough work against so many good players and such a strong field. But there's no doubt about it. I'll back him every time that he'll get that jacket at some point.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, we've got another 12 months of now going, oh, can Rory win the Masters? Will this be the year, next year, you know, et cetera? Because it's always the chat, isn't it, around Rory and not having won that major. But what is it that you're so still confident about him winning it? Because, you know, he really struggled. He was never in contention, really, this weekend. But everyone sort of thinks he's still got it in him, right?
Oh, yeah. You see him play. And like I said, you have to be playing well these events. The standard, the depth of the fields are so strong. You have to be on your game. That's, again, what separated Tiger from being amazing was sometimes he'd win events sort of playing maybe his B or C game, win loads of events. That's sort of what separates him, but you've got to be on the ball and playing well. He just wasn't quite on it, and it becomes difficult, and it'd be frustrating for him, but you can never write him off. We've seen him play, we've seen what he's done over the years. He's one of the best out there, if not the best. So he'll definitely be back, and you know, he's going to have another 15-20 goes at it. You know, he's got plenty of time, and I think I definitely wouldn't back against him winning one. No way.
Is there anything about the particular tournament, Beef, that he struggles with in terms of, because obviously he's an absolute bomber, isn't he, when he's on his day? Like, you know, the fact that you're saying it's so fiddly before, and obviously the conditions were horrendous at times this weekend. Is that anything to do with it, do you think? Or is it just, as you say, an off weekend?
I think it was more an off week. And I think going and see Butch isn't a bad idea. I think them two probably work quite well together. But 2 weeks before, I think that's a tough ask. You know, like we said, we saw Scheffler work with Phil Kenyon, and that was in October, end of October. You know, they've had 6 months to work on that putting. It'd be tough in two weeks. I don't know what you can say as a coach, what Butch could probably say as a coach for 2 weeks' work, you know?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Well, another person who obviously struggled was last year's champion, John Rahm. He finished 45th in the end. Defending champion, but obviously, was he a bit undercooked from his time at LIV? Is that fair to say?
You never know. You never know. I'm really intrigued by this John Rum sort of, not situation, but the move to live. Like I said, I just think he's a guy that I thought he'd win double digits majors. He could be a person that could go on and win 10 majors. And I just think going to live for him, look, I mean, you can't, it's so hard to turn down the offer he had. But is it the right prep for the majors? You watch him the way he plays. He loves competing. He's a competitor. And I just think when I've watched him over the years in high-pressure moments, he's delivered. Maybe he's not getting the high-pressure moments at the moment on Liv. I mean, I haven't seen any of it. I don't even know what's going on, to be brutally honest.
Yeah.
But maybe he's just not getting them kind of like sort of pressure moments and that adrenaline that gets him going. I don't know. Only time will tell. Obviously, he's going to be playing all the majors and stuff, and it'll be interesting to see how he goes. Again, it could just be an off week. I think we'll see more over the course of the year and get a better idea at the end of the season.
I mean, there were three Liv players in the top 10, but I don't think any of them were really massively in contention. I think the only one really was Bryson, who really, over the sort of whole weekend, was in the conversation. Did you see his shot on the final, on day three, on the final hole? You hold his approach shot from miles out. That was super impressive.
It's always nice to finish like that. Always nice when you're hitting up that hill as well. You won't be able to see the ball going in, but he knows it's gone in because of the reaction up by the green. So it's a good one. You know, when you hit a shot and you think it's going to be close and goes in, and the way to finish your round like that is such a good feeling. The Liv players, there's so many good players there. If you look at like Bryson, Brooks, Dustin Johnson, Cam Smith, they're all top 10, top 20 players in the world.
Yeah.
And again, that's going back to the whole debate. That's one of the things I miss, is these guys competing week in, week out against each other, because the fields were just mega. And class will always be permanent. And the question is, does it prepare you for the majors? Are you going to be match fit? Dustin Johnson doesn't look like the same person in majors at the moment.
Yeah.
Brooks has won one. So again, I think it depends on the player. And that's why I'm a bit mixed with John Rahm. I think he's more of a player that needs to play in stuff like the Players' Championship, the tournaments leading up to the majors, to really sort of prepare him. Is Liv preparing him enough? I don't know. Brooks, I think he could play in a monthly medal round any golf course and prepare for the Masters. That's just the way he is.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's interesting.
100%. Speaking of class, finally, obviously Tiger Woods, he broke another record. One of his many, many, many ones. 24 consecutive cuts made at the Masters, I think, which is obviously just pretty incredible, isn't it? But was it a bit sad watching Tiger over the weekend? It felt sort of a bit like end of a very long, successful era, didn't it? He really struggled on day three. I think he shot like 82 or something. Was there an element of sadness that the kind of Tiger era is coming to the end, do you think?
You never know with him. I mean, like the injuries that he'd gone through before the crash, to win in 2019, it was just outrageous. And then to have this crash, even to make the cut at what he's been through, is sort of mind-blowing in its own right.
Yeah.
And he's played what? He's played one event before this, pulled out.
Yeah.
When he shoots 82, it's not the Tiger we're all used to. But like I've said, and I've had this chat with John before, he doesn't think he'll ever win again. I won't write him off just yet. You never quite know. And hopefully he can have sort of a run where he's not injured and then coming back from injury and play an event. I know he's going to try and target the rest of the majors this season. So hopefully he's got through four rounds. He can prepare a little bit better and we'll see what he does in the next one. How exciting would it be if he's up on the leaderboard over the weekend at one of these majors? You're going to see, like, they, what do they call it in the States? Like, the ratings moving the needle. If he's up there on the weekend, one of these majors this year or even the tournament is going to go berserk. Social media is going to break down.
You see it with the crowds, don't you? Just following him absolutely everything. The popularity is still massive there. And also, across the weekend as well, I watched quite a bit of it. Like, he's still got some absolutely unbelievable touches around the place. It's, yeah, so he's never exactly going to be a bad player, is he? Tommy Fleetwood beef, third place finish, had a great final day. That was his first top 10 at the Masters. How happy for Tommy were you?
Yeah, of course. That's great. Again, I've played a lot of golf with him and I'm not surprised one bit. He's such a strong player. And it's great to see. And again, like, I'd never back against him winning majors and stuff. I've seen how well he can play the tournaments he's already won. He'll be there or thereabouts for a long time as well. But it's good. And I think that's sometimes the top 10 is... it's like sometimes it could be like a little mental hurdle in your head where you're like, hang on, I finished top 10 here. I'm looking forward to next year's one now. I know I can finish in the top 10. I can go around in a few better shots here and almost get into contention. And it's such fine margins. And sometimes when I've played, you know, I've come out and I've gone, you know what, I finished eighth here.
Yeah.
You know, if I didn't make a little mistake here, a little mistake there, all of a sudden I'm two shots off the lead. And they can be like a nice little confidence boost for the rest of the season.
There was a really interesting sort of storyline with Tommy, wasn't there? His caddy was unwell, so he needed a new caddy. So he went for a local Augusta caddy, who I believe is called Gray Moore, used to be caddy master at Augusta. That's just like quite cool, isn't it? Having a local caddy who knows the course. Would that make much of a difference, do you think, Beef, to his tournament?
It would make a difference. They've worked together a long time, him and Finno. It'd make a difference to the routines. Both of them know exactly how they tick, what routines, whether it is, what time he's going to be on the range, when he's walking the golf course. They know exactly what they're doing, right, together. So the routines will probably change a little bit, and it's getting to know someone new, and Gray's going to be trying to work out his routine in the practice rounds and understand sort of what makes him tick. And Tommy, I guess, is going to be trying to like lead that. But again, it's a really sensible move because he's a local caddy. How many times has he been around that golf course? How many times does he know where you can hit it? Where can't you hit it? It's a game of chess, that golf course. He'll know that course inside out. Better than nearly anyone.
Yeah.
So it's a really clever move. And it'd be interesting if he's learned a lot from having Gray Moore caddy for him, that he would take over the next however many years there. I'd love to find some insight out to what, if he's learned anything new or what Gray's taught him. It'd be really interesting.
Yeah, 100%. Also, you must be buzzing if you're Gray Moore. He's obviously come third place and apparently his prize fund was $1 million. How much is Gray Moore getting out of that then, like for a weekend's work?
So, well, Ryan, this will be an interesting one because there's a funny story about Matt Kuchar at the Mayakoba tournament on the PGA Tour. He had a local caddy and apparently they agreed a fee for the week and they won. So usually when you win, you pay a caddy 10%. So Kuchar would have won, I don't know, let's say 900,000.
Yeah.
And he still gave him the fee that they agreed on, whether it was like 2,000 quid or something.
No way.
Yeah, whatever, 4,000 quid. So everyone kind of like had this uproar about like, you've got to give him the 10%. And I don't think he did. But I wouldn't think Tommy would have necessarily done that. And usually, like, I don't know what fee they've agreed together, but generally it's going to be anywhere between 5 and 10%.
Fuck, what a good weekend's work then, to be fair, if he stuck to it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll never know. Well, maybe we'll try and find out.
Maybe we will know. Maybe there'll be some drama and it comes out that he hasn't paid his caddy properly and then we'll be like, Beef called it, yeah. Finally, Beef, there was a few examples of folk who needed to have a look in the mirror, mate. Over the Masters weekend. Did you see specifically Sergio Garcia's green and yellow number?
I had to check his nationality. I thought he'd changed. I thought he's moved to Australia. Oh, it was a bold move. Yeah, it was bold. Them yellow trousers were bold, man.
Yellow trousers and green top just together, like lemon and lime sort of combo. Was, would you ever pull off something like that?
No. No, I'm trying to think, lemon and lime, what sponsorship we could have. Don't they do
Sprite?
Yeah, is it Sprite?
Yeah.
Or a Twister. It looks a bit like a Twister. Yeah, I don't think anyone could really pull it off. I mean, it was bold. It was a bold move, but not as bold as Jason Day.
His jumper. It was like a collared vest thing, wasn't it, or whatever?
He got told to take it off, apparently.
Yeah. He got told to have a look in the mirror, mate, by Augusta. Literally.
Do you reckon they wheeled a mirror out?
You'd hope that Augusta, such an establishment, had a mirror ready to wheel out. He would have got asked to do so at Beef's Golf Club. But yeah, I thought that was a bold choice as well. I'm not really sure what the thinking was there.
No, I mean, sometimes, you know, you're going to go for a little fashion statement. You've got to rock it. I never thought you could get to the point where you would offend Augusta so bad they'd ask you to take a jumper off.
Amazing.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, what a brilliant Masters weekend.
Well, there we go. The first major of the season is done. Three more to go. Me and John will be back on Wednesday, where we've got some serious work to be doing on the clubhouse here at Beef's Golf Club. Remember, to get in touch with your stories and ideas, email beef@crowdnetwork.co.uk. See you next time, guys.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.